We're on the Sky News Centre at 7. Buckingham Palace says the King has made clear his profound concern about new allegations surrounding Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and is ready to support the police if asked. The Thames Valley Force is now assessing new information suggesting the former prince passed confidential information to Jeffrey Epstein during his time as a UK trade envoy. The former prince has previously denied wrongdoing. Here's our royal correspondent, Rhiannon Mills.
If we kind of think back to October last year, the whole point of the King stripping Andrew, his brother, of his titles, of his home, was meant to make this distraction go away. The very opposite has happened when we've seen the release of these new Epstein files over the last week.
The Health Secretary says Sir Keir Starmer does not need to resign as he faces a battle to stay in power. The Prime Minister is addressing Labour MPs hours after Scottish Labour leader Anas Sawa called on him to quit. Two key aides have resigned over Peter Mandelson's appointment as US ambassador. Wes Streeting says he regrets his own relationship with the retiring peer.
I'm embarrassed to have known Peter Mandelson. More than anything else, actually, in those messages, I hope I haven't caused either embarrassment or discomfort for my cabinet colleagues.
A judge has described a paedophile nursery worker as every parent's worst nightmare. Nathan Bennett, who's 30 and from Bath, has been convicted of abusing 2 and 3-year-old children in Bristol. More than 100 flood warnings are in force in England as forecasters warn of no prolonged dry spell for at least a week. The Environment Agency says more flooding and travel disruption is likely. Shares in Greggs closed down today after a big investment bank said the bakery chain's biggest problem is weight loss drugs. The assessment is they will reduce demand from its most frequent customers and therefore hit profits. And Great Britain's mixed curlers have missed out on a shot at gold at the Winter Olympics. Jen Dodds and Bruce Mowat were beaten 9-3 by Sweden in their semi-final. That's the latest. I'm Charlie Maggs.
From the Borough Radio newsroom, I'm Gareth Joy. As the pressure grows on Sir Keir Starmer, a Welsh Labour MP says the Senate elections could be critical to his future. But Ruth Jones told BBC Wales that the Prime Minister had been wounded by the fallout from the Mandelson affair. Meanwhile, Plaid Cymru have called on the embattled Premier to resign, saying he's lost all moral authority. Police say the sudden death of a man in Barry is not being treated as suspicious. An investigation is continuing after emergency services were called to Romley Park at around 7:20 this morning. The man's next of kin have been informed and the park was closed off to the public. Four people accused of murdering a teenage boy near Caerphilly have been remanded in custody. Gwent police say specialist officers are looking after the family of 17-year-old Tristan Shea Kerr, who died in the village of Abertrido last Thursday. Three men and a woman will appear before a judge at Cardiff Crown Court tomorrow. Plans to spend more than £200 million on Cardiff Airport have been challenged by a rival. A tribunal has heard claims the 10-year subsidy from the Welsh Government would be anti-competitive. Bristol Airport says it's unprecedented in UK aviation and would unfairly hurt their business. The hearing ends tomorrow with a final decision due at a later date. A leading racehorse trainer wants to add up to 20 new holiday lodges to his stables in Cowbridge. Pant Wilkin, owned by Tim Vaughan, already has 6 luxury lodges along with an equestrian centre. It's the second time an application has been submitted this year after councillors rejected earlier plans over concerns about the impact on the countryside. In sport, Ben Davis has celebrated his 1,000th Elite League game with Cardiff Devils. The Great Britain forward is only the third Welshman to reach the milestone. The Devils clinched back-to-back wins over Guildford Flames and Fife Flyers at the weekend to remain second in the table.
In my head. the water.
Radio, the Vale's local radio station, and it's your Monday night sports show here at Bow Radio with me, Mike Fowler. And what we got to look forward to? Well, it's been a fantastic week of sport here in the Vale, and we're going to be looking back at how your Vale teams have been getting on in the football. We're also going to be having a look at how the Cardiff Devils have been getting on in the Elite Hockey League, and we're going to have a look back at Wales's first Six Nations game of the 2026 campaign, and I look forward to their second game, where I'm going to be joined by Dan Maggs and Mike Morgan from Barry Rugby Football Club. All that and more still to come at Bow Radio.
Treat me.
This is your Monday Night Sports Show here at Pro Radio with me, Mike Fowler. And we're going to be switching our attention to football at the moment. And Andy Legg's second spell as Barry Town United manager began with a 1-0 defeat to Colwyn Bay. Nathan Peat's second half goal for the Seagulls denied the hosts their first win in the Championship Conference. Legg returned to the Jenner Park Club for the first time since April, having left for personal reasons, with Steve Jenkins resuming his role as director of football. Seeking to banish the memories of last week's shock Welsh Cup exit at Rhyl, Josh Barnard and Owen Cudahy were dropped to the bench, making way for a return of Ellis Williams and Will Richards in the starting 11. But it was Bay who enjoyed the brighter start, with Aaron Edwards going close to taking an early lead from close range and PT's head forcing keeper George Radcliffe into an early save. Barry eventually forced their way into carving out chances, with Alex Brown narrowly denying Ollie Hulbert's effort from a Keston Davis cross, while Yian Owen's low drive was also kept out by the Bay keeper. As the heavens opened, Jordan Davis struck the side net in from a quick throw-in before Owen headed wide as a result of the counter-attack. Peat again close on the stroke of half-time, but then 3 minutes after the restart, the Seagulls defender nodded down his fifth goal of the season past Radcliffe to leave Barry playing catch-up. Edwards came close to adding a second for Barry moments later, when Ben Magerton's audacious long-range effort going wide was about as close as Barry came to an equaliser before the game gradually petered out. So Barry remained sixth in the Championship Conference as their attention turned to a Valentine's Day trip to face Carnarvon Town at Llandudno. And in the Ardran Premier, the Phase 2 fixtures have been announced and James Fishlock's side will be in the Plate Conference, kicking off at home to Aberystwyth Town on Sunday the 15th of February. That's followed by a St David's Day visit to Britton Ferry and a doubleheader against bottom club Pontypridd United, away on the 15th of March and home a week later. Britton Ferry visit Jenner Park on the 29th of March before the season comes to an end at Aberystwyth on the 5th of April. And Barry are currently 7th in the table with just one win from their last four league games. But up next on Bro Radio, we're going to be bringing you the Llantwit Majors action from the Welsh Blood Service Cup game and some selected results from around the Vale here at Bro Radio.
Bro Radio.
Mae teithio ar drin gyda Trafnidiaeth Cymru yn rhwydd. Talwch wrth fynd ar draws Metro De Cymru am brisiau arbennig. Tapiwch chi mewn â'ch ffôn, oriawr neu gerdyn a thapiwch allan ar ôl ych chi gyrraedd. A gewch chi'r pris gorau yn automatic bob tro. Rhwydd. Chwiliwch talu wrth fynd ta yr cy am fwy o wybodaeth. Gorsafoedd dethol yn unig. Pris gorau o'i gymharu a ffocynnau tebyg ta yr cy. Mae tylerau ac ymodau'n berthnasol.
Install Skip Hire are one of the leading skip hire, tipper and grab lorry companies in the Vale, offering a range of waste disposal solutions across South Wales. Our specialists have over 20 years' experience, so you can be assured of excellent customer service. But don't just take our word for it. Check out our 5-star rating on Facebook. We also offer eco-friendly disposal options, converting 95% of our waste into renewable energy, so you can rest easy knowing your waste doesn't go to waste. Find out how Install Skip Hire can help you on 01446 421 072.
If you're craving the best fish and chips in town, you'll find them at Friar Tuck Fish and Chips on Richard Street, Barry. Choose from tasty chips, crispy battered fish and battered sausages, our irresistible Irish curry, or our ever-popular lunchtime sausage share box. Friar Tuck Fish and Chips. We deliver locally via Uber. So order now at friartuckbarry.com or pop in. You'll find us on Richard Street behind the old Wilko.
Get the latest traffic and travel on the Bro Radio app or at broradio.fm/travel.
Powered by DG Window Services, a family-run business with 30 years' experience. Just search DG Window Services online.
This is your Monday Night Sports Show with me, Mike Fowler. And Llantwit Major are out of the Welsh Blood Service Cup after a 2-1 defeat to Trion Stars in the quarterfinals. Coffeyville replied for Major after they fell behind to a quick-fire brace from Tom Meekham in the first 5 minutes. The game had already been switched to True Thomas Bluebird's ground in Hengoid and moved from a Saturday to a Friday because of concerns about the weather and a growing fixture backlog for both sides. But just 2 minutes in, Meekham's Thunderbolt free kick rattled the crossbar as it beat Llantwit keeper Sean Gardner to put Trion ahead. But barely 3 minutes later, Meekham struck again after a Gavin Meekham's assist to double the lead. Rowe found his reply 3 minutes after the break, but Carl Lewis's men offered little in finding an equaliser as Trion booked their place in the semi-finals. Llantwit now turn their attention to the final third of the Cymru South campaign, which begins weather pending on Valentine's Day at home to bottom club Cumbrian Celtic. And also in the Cymru South, Cairo Ely won 3-1 at home to Ammanford, with Howell Davis scoring first for the home team before Daniel John equalised. Tim Barker got Kyrodidi's second goal early in the second half and followed up with his brace 20 minutes later. Kyrodidi now sit third in the league, and on Friday they're away to league leaders Cambrian United. But on Friday, Cardiff Airport lost at home 1-0 to Penrith Harbour Rangers, and it was a James Thornton's goal was all that was needed to separate the teams. So Cardiff Airport now sits 6th in the league, and next they're at home to Enniskwen. And Ely Rangers next play on Saturday, and they're at home to Penderyn Seniors. And also playing on Saturday at home is Dinas Powys, who host Betis. So that brings you up to date with what's been going on with your local football teams from around the Vale. But up next, we've still got to bring you the action from the Elite Hockey League with the Cardiff Devils, seeing how they've got on. And we are talking to Dan Maggs and Mike Morgan from Barry Rugby Football Club about the weekend's Six Nations and what to look forward to. But up next on Bow Radio, we're looking at one of our local music artist tracks. And this is In the Morning I Left the Cult by The Late Shift. And The Late Shift are a rock and roll band from Barry known for passionate, heartfelt songs with a mix of humour and heartache in a classic rock-inspired style.
Yeah.
And that was In the Morning I Left the Cult by The Late Shift. But now we're going to have a look at the Elite Hockey League to see how the Cardiff Devils have been getting on. And they had two games over the weekend, and the first was on Friday, and that was home to the Fife Flyers. And it was three late goals saw the Devils take victory here. Evan Strang had put the visitors ahead after just 23 seconds. And after having a goal chalked off on review, the Devils equalised through Cedric Lacroix to make it 1-1 at the end of the first period. But fans at the Vindico Arena then had to wait until almost the 58th minute for another score, and that coming from Gleeson Fournier. And then two empty nets then saw Lacroix at a second and Josh McDonald having the final say. And then on the Sunday, the Devils then had to travel to Fife to take on the Fife Flyers, and they claimed their second victory of the weekend with a 4-2 victory. Jimmy Olinghi opened the scoring at the Fife Ice Arena on 15 minutes before Riley Brandt doubled the lead in the second period, which saw Jeremy Marcel and Nolan Yamako called for fighting. Brandon Estes added a power play goal in the final period before the Flyers pair of Giando Finore and Keaton Jameson found the net to set up a frantic final 5 minutes. And while the Flyers pushed for an equaliser, Cedric Lacroix took advantage of an empty net to seal a win for the Devils. So that was two wins over the weekend. And what has that done to the standings in the Elite Hockey League? So Cardiff Devils are now sitting second in the Elite Hockey League. They're 4 points behind first place Belfast Giants, having played one game more. But in third place Nottingham Panthers, they've played one game less than the Devils. But they're only sitting 2 points behind, and the Sheffield Steelers are on the same number of games as the Devils, and they're 3 points behind. And then in fifth, Manchester Storm, they've played 36 games, so one game less than the Devils as well, but they're 9 points behind on 43 points. So it's been quite a good weekend there for the Devils, sort of cementing their position in the top four of the Elite Hockey League. And they have games against the Sheffield Steelers next Saturday, and that's at home, and the Sheffield Steelers are sitting in fourth place, so that's going to be a really good game to decide what's going to happen in the top four. And then on Sunday they are away to the Guildford Flames, and the Guildford Flames that they beat 4-1 last Friday. So, you know, if the Devils can get another two victories there, just sort of add pressure onto the Belfast Giants. But we know these leagues, they can change round really quickly. But up next at Pro Radio, we're going to be having a look back at the Six Nations and a look forward to the next game. And we're going to be talking a bit about Barry Rugby Football Club.
Pro Radio.
The teams at Penarth Athletic Club would like to thank the community for their support following a devastating fire at the clubhouse last year. As they work to rebuild, you can follow Penarth RFC or visit penarthathleticclub.co.uk for updates, fixtures and news. You can also support the club's rebuild plans by searching for Penarth Athletic Club on Crowdfunder.
Cwmpawd Teulu Fro yw eich drws ffrynt un stop newydd ar gyfer gwybodaeth, cymorth ac amddiffyniad i blant, pobl ifanc, rhieni a gofalwyr ym Mro Morgannwg. Mae Cwmpawd Teulu Fro yn cynnwys gwasanaeth gwybodaeth i deuluoedd y Fro, llinell gyngor teuluoedd yn gyntaf, tîm o amgylch y teulu, gwasanaeth rhianta y Fro a'r tîm derbyn. Darganfyddwch fwy yn cwmpawdteuluyfro.co.uk neu dilynwch ni ar Facebook, chwiliwch Cwmpawd Teulu y Fro.
Park Funerals are your local independent funeral directors, having served the community for over 12 years. We put your family's needs first, providing the dignified departure that your loved one deserves. We will keep and care for them at our premises in Barry until they are laid to rest, while caring for you too, keeping our costs fair and offering direct cremations and pre-need funeral plans to help give you peace of mind. To find out more, visit our website parkfunerals.co.uk or call us on 01446 421212 and our caring team will help you.
This is your Monday Night Sports Show with me, Mike Fowler. And a little bit earlier, I sat down with Dan Maggs and Mike Morgan from Barry Rugby Football Club to discuss all things rugby and what went on over the weekend with the Six Nations.
Welcome to Bro Radio, and I've got Dan Maggs, who's the head of partnership for Barry RFC, and I've got Mike Morgan, who's the director of rugby for Barry RFC, and they're joining me to have a little chat about the Six Nations, the game that's just gone, the game going forward, and to tell us a little bit about what's been going on with the club. So, good afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. So, biggest first question is, how are we all feeling after the Wales-England game?
Next question. Well, obviously disappointing. You know, being Welsh, we're always optimistic going into any game, particularly against our fierce rivals, England. But I think the reality soon kicked in that we're not quite there at the minute. It was just disappointing to see pretty much within the first 2 minutes of the match, we were 3-0 down, and that really did set the tone for the rest of the match. But turn the page and, you know, hopefully better to come next weekend against France.
Yeah, I think we're all hoping for just a little bit better. And Mike, can I just get your take on the...
I think the game, you know, as disappointing as it was from a Welsh perspective, just highlights the standard of the Six Nations as a tournament. England were extremely clinical. You could see their game plan. They executed it really, really well. And unfortunately, at times, Wales were on the back foot as a result. So taking the neutral stance, you can see that the quality is there. And to survive in this contest, you really do have to bring your A game. There were moments for Wales. I thought Zamit, in particular, you know, he really attacked with purpose. And, you know, found some open ground there. The try that Wales scored, you know, they showed a lot of creativity from young players. But to go to Twickenham against a very well-developed England side, when we're probably in the mix of redeveloping and trying to gel as a young side in the Six Nations, that's a tall order. So as disappointing as it was, the rugby was very good. And Wales can set the bar now. They know where the standards need to be to beat these big teams.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, it's nothing's tougher than England at Twickenham.
No.
Especially first game of the Six Nations. We've got a new coach in Steve Tandy, so he's developing the way that he wants to play, and there's been a little bit of churn of coaches as well in the last few seasons there. And we can't forget that only a few months ago we were on an 18-game losing streak as a national team. So looking at it from somebody who's not involved in any rugby clubs, just as an avid fan, I could see some definite green shoots there from the team, especially the way that they were playing. You could see that there was ways that they were trying to play. So would as people who are obviously experts in the field of rugby, is that your assessment of it as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at the quality we have in the team. You know, you pick out some of those names from the Welsh squad, and they would walk into any team in the world, you know? So it's not a case of, do we have the players? We have the players, but you already mentioned that Steve Tandy needs time to really impart his game plan, and the players need time to gel. International rugby is a little different. You don't get pre-season friendlies to try things out and get it right. You have to get it right first time. And you have to get it right first time against England at Twickenham. So the challenge is huge, and the challenge is high. So there were certainly moments in the game where you could see some potential of what we're going to be and what we're about to be. It just didn't all come together against England at Twickenham. At that level, if you fall into that trap, then, you know, that you get punished. So that's the brutality, I guess, of this level of sport. But at the same time, from a Welsh perspective, you could say that losing, you know, in the way we did, you know, we failed to win, put it a different way. I guess we failed to perform. But through those failures, you know, we need to learn. And we have to make those games count against England. So I think this week, you know, I imagine that camp is very much focused on the analysis, putting things right that went wrong, and then taking those learnings into the next game against France.
And it doesn't get much easier, does it? I mean, as you've just alluded to, we got France on the weekend. France were looking totally dominant, and it was unusual. It was a Thursday night game as well.
Yeah.
But they looked like favourites for the Six Nations, the way that they were playing. And there's and Mike, you sort of might know this a bit better. There's only so much you can really do from the sideline once the game has started there as well. So is it frustrating do you think from the coaching point of view that there was so many penalties given away, and then once there was a warning there were still penalties given away? And I understand it's the pressure put on, and you know, no one goes out wanting to make them mistakes for there, but is that something that's an easy fix in the next couple of days?
Yeah, as a coach, you're not on the pitch, like you said, obviously. So, you know, you have no control over those mistakes. But everyone's responsible. And I'm sure the coaches would have gone back and looked at their game plan and tried to figure out maybe the way they were playing led to those mistakes. So is it something that they need to change? So it's not just the 15 players on the park who are responsible, the wider management team, that the whole squad will have a level of responsibility there, whether you're on or off the pitch. The frustration for coaches is that you can't really do anything until after the game, right? You know, you have to wait until training the following week. And that's where the frustration, I guess, creeps in. But everybody's responsible. And everybody be looking themselves in the mirror, you know, after that game, you know, coaching staff, players. One thing when they look in the mirror, they'll see, you know, they'll see a face looking back and they'll want to put it right. There's no way Wales are looking to go out on Sunday against France to lose, or just to put in a decent performance. They're going out to win. So I'd imagine all their focus this week will be on how do we fix issues and how do we go out and beat France. And there are signs. I mean, Ireland had a few key players missing. But they turned over a lot of ball from France. You know, the breakdown was not clean at times for France. And that turnover of ball, Ireland were able to get a little bit of possession. And during the middle of the game, Ireland were coming back into it, especially after halftime. And people could argue France were ahead maybe, and they, you know, took the foot off the gas. But I think Ireland stuck in there, turned over good ball, maintained a little bit of possession. I think potentially their fault, they started kicking too much good ball away, and which allowed France back into it. And those are those games, they ebb and flow. So I think Wales could look at the French and Ireland game with a lot of interest. I think there are opportunities there. You know, we have some fantastic back rows who can pinch that ball. So if France leave an opportunity there, and Wales can slow that ball down and turn it over and get some possession. And don't forget, you know, playing at the stadium in Wales is, you know, that's a big crowd. That's a big crowd that's going to be behind Wales.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, the stadium, the atmosphere is always great in there as well. Mm. But I think as well, it's kind of game management as well. I think from me looking at it, it's playing in the right areas, and there's a time to be a little bit expansive, and there's a time sometimes to just get a bit of territory and just kick the ball away and just get a bit of relief on your defence. And talking about getting better, I'm just going to sort of switch gear to the to Barry.
Bombers, love it.
It's been quite good. The last few games, they've turned it round. You've had a couple of wins, and I know there was a postponed game against Revelling, but you've also got a tough game coming up on St Albans. And I know they're sort of sitting mid-table in the league, but they're normally sort of closer to the top end in Division 1 East Central, aren't they? So how's it down in Barry Rugby? How's it going down there?
Well, you know, we're I think it's been mentioned in the press before. You know, we're a young side, a very young side, against Lanishan. We had three teenagers in key positions. So it's exciting because these young players are really stepping up at a high level of rugby and performing and winning games against Lanishan, who were second in the league at the time, making very good decisions in the game and coming away with a W. So that's exciting. So the confidence is really high. And what we found some momentum in our game at the moment. So we have a game plan, obviously. And probably been a little bit guilty of it having purple patches in previous games where we stuck to the game plan, but they maybe just sort of drifted off at times. And at this level, you get punished at Division One. But they've been more complete performances recently, and that's turned into wins. But the league is highly competitive. At the moment, Penarth are top. They're on 38 points. We're at the wrong end of the league, I guess, at the moment, but we're on 30 points. So there's only 8 points between us and top of the league. And what's, I guess, a little frustrating for us is we've lost three games recently by a try. So if we would have scored one extra try and won those games, we'd be top of the league at 42 points.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games where, one of those leagues where it's going to be worth watching right to the very last game of the league, because at the moment, anybody, St. Albans, I think, but more than 2/3 of the season have been at the top, look like they really budged, and now all of a sudden they're mid-table because they've had a few losses. So it's an exciting league to watch. It's an exciting league to be a part of. But we've got four games left, everything to play for. Where confidence is high, we're going in the right direction. We have a young team who are just developing confidence and the ability in every game. And then we've got a youth team coming up behind them that are smashing it. They, you know, they've won again on the weekend, high score against Pontypridd. One of the youth lads, Isaac, he's represented the first team already, but being 18 years of age, he's currently still in the second year youth. So it's all promising stuff. But we're judged on winning and losing at this level. So the next four games, quite rightfully, the fans, everyone in the club, it's, you know, everyone's going to be watching with a keen eye. You know, can we see this season off properly? We get these four wins, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Thank you for that, Mike. And but it is going to be quite busy over the weekend down in down in the clubhouse as well.
Yeah, we've got a full day. We've got, obviously, the senior first 15 are playing St. Albans. The youth were going for four wins on the bounce. They're hosting Llandaff Youth. We got a Parisian-based rugby club joining us for the day. They've got tickets for the Wales-France game on the Sunday. And we've got members of the Barry Male Voice Choir joining us as well. So we're expecting a full house from sort of midday onwards. The youth kick off at 1:30. The seniors kick off at 2:30. And then we've got the Italy-Ireland game on in the clubhouse at 10 past 2. And then we've got the Calcutta Cup, Scotland against England at, I think, 20 to 5, is it? We're singing. Obviously, the French team are in town as well. So we're expecting a full and busy day at the club.
Sounds like the Bombers Clubhouse is the place to be this weekend.
So absolutely. Every weekend.
Every weekend, yeah. So if you're thinking about popping down, feel free to come in and enjoy some rugby, have a sing song, and have a couple of beers.
No problem. Thank you for the invitation there, Dan. And Mike and Dan, thanks for joining me and talking about rugby and the Six Nations and how things are going in Barry Rugby Football Club.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thank you.
So that was Dan and Mike from Barry Rugby Football Club. And just to keep you up to date with what else has been going on in the domestic game around the Vale. So there was no games being played on the weekend, but there are games going on Saturday coming. And in Division 1 East Central, Barry, they're at home, as we said in as we said just now, they're at home to St Albans, and Penarth are away to Llanharan. And Barry currently sit 8th in the division, and Penarth are sitting top in first place. And in Division 2 East Central, Cowbridge, they're away to Porth Harlequins, and Cowbridge sitting 6th in the division. Division 3 East Central, Llantwit Major and Dinas Powys are your two Vale teams there, and Llantwit Major are third in the division and Dinas Powys are sitting in sixth place. And Dinas Powys have a home game against Llantrisant, and Llantwit Major are away to Fairwater. And in Division 5, Open Arthians, they're away on Saturday to Caira Ely, and they're sitting ninth in the league there. And in the Women's Championship, Open Arthians, they're sitting second in the league, and on Sunday they are away to Whitland. So it's a full calendar of domestic rugby around the Vale for this weekend coming up. And as a we've discussed there, it wasn't a great start to the Six Nations for Wales. The final score there was actually 48-7 in England's favour there, which puts Wales bottom of the Six Nations table as it stands at the moment. But it's time to rewrite that, because on Sunday, Wales are taking on France at home. So it's hoping for a bit of a reaction and a good result there. But that brings you up to date with what's been going on with rugby around the Vale here at Pro Radio. Your Monday Night Sports Show with me, Mike Fowler. And that now has you up to date with what's been going on around the Vale in the sports side of things. But if there's a sports story, sports team or sports club that you think I should be talking about, then what you need to do is email me at sport@broradio.fm. And remember, if you'd like to be a sports club of the week, then you can go onto the broradio.fm website and click the link for sports a club of the week, where you need to just drop me a 90-second video telling us who you are, what you are, tell us all about your club and if they, how people can get involved. And we'll be featuring Sports Club of the Week here at Bro Radio. But up next at Bro Radio, you've got Patrick with the evening show, where he's going to get you through the evening here at the, here in the Vale, here at Bro Radio.
Bro Radio.
Celebrate the St. David's Day weekend by joining Barry Town Council for our fun 2K Daffodil Dash. It's at Barry Island on Sunday the 1st of March, and all ages and dogs are welcome. Our fun Daffodil Dash will be followed by live music at Barry Island Gardens as we hold collections in aid of the Mayor's chosen charities, Valeways and Mind in the Vale. Adult registration is just £6.50 and kids and dogs run free. Book now at ticketsource.co.uk/Barry Town Council.
Are your feet holding you back? Then visit the Vale Foot Clinic for all your podiatry and chiropody needs. We are HCPC registered podiatrists that have been caring for the Vale for over a decade, offering a number of services including gait analysis, shockwave therapy and highly effective treatments for verruca and ingrown nails. With clinics in Barry and Dinas, visit the Vale Foot Clinic for professional, client-centred treatment. Call to book on 01446 677 111 or visit podiatrywales.co.uk.
For quality car parts at low prices, head to LMF Motor Factors on Main Street, Barry. Whatever parts you need, brake pads and batteries, to oil and accessories, our experienced team will find what you need. LMF Motor Factors is an independent company that values the business of our local community, and we're determined to keep the Vale on the road for less. LMF Motor Factors. Visit us today on Main Street, Barry. Why go anywhere else?
On FM,
DAB,
smart speaker
and the Bro Radio app.
This is Bro Radio.